Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk Live, of course, here getting you ready on a Friday night for the Baltimore Ravens Indianapolis Colts matchup. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin, and of course DK in the background running the show. We missed DK last show, man. He was, you know, doing Lord knows what.
He got in at the end, but
he did. He did.
He was one eye out. He was half lit, you know.
But no, we're glad to have you back for the ride, DK. Hopefully you got to close some business. All that being said, it's Friday, Glenn. Friday. It's going to be an exciting weekend. I'm looking forward to, obviously this game, and, there's a lot.
You ran out of Baltimore. Let's just call it what it is. You escaped this tropical, whatever the heck we have coming our way.
We had this plan like 2 months ago.
Yeah. You bailed on us is what you did. You saw the weather and you got the heck out of there. that is something we're definitely going to get into, what the expected weather is and how that could affect this game. This is a game where I think everyone who was, you know, doing the preseason predictions, win loss, picks this as a win. But look, there's a lot of injuries we got to get into, and the weather certainly can make things interesting. So
we'll get into this, especially what their defensive strengths are. You know what I mean? That makes it even more interesting. So we'll definitely get into that. But yeah, let's start with – I think that's a great point, Glenn. Let's start with the injuries, because I think we got some big ones here. If you're not a Ravens fan, you might not consider some of the ones that we're going to discuss big. But if you know the Ravens intimately like we do and all of you watching, then
not
I think –
Not too that, intimately.
Right, not too intimately. But certainly I think that you'll know some of these names are of concern. So, DK, what you got for us here? All right. Obviously, we got Odell Beckham Jr., I think it's a foregone conclusion at this point he's going to miss this game, but we don't expect this to be long-term. Obviously, he hasn't practiced at all this week. Mm-hmm. Jadeveon Clowney, of course, just, you know, recovering from – he practiced Thursday, Friday, just recovering from an illness. I'm not too concerned about that. Maybe he had a little bit of the bubble guts, you know, something like that.
It was non-COVID, so that was nice.
Right, yeah. So he maybe ate a cheeseburger too many the night before. And it just hung on for a little bit. But this is the one I want to get into, Glenn, and that is Justice Hill, who also seems to be a foregone conclusion that he is out this game.
Mm-hmm.
I want to spend some time here because the other ones I think are names that we already know, right? We know Marlon. Yep. We know Tyler. We know, well, Adafe, this is his first week, but we know he's out. He hasn't practiced at all. And Marcus Williams. But I think, between him and Adafe, I think those are the two most impactful players that weren't already on the injury report, right? Like, those are two big names, don't you think?
Yeah, this is kind of reminding me of the Ardarius Washington injury of last week, where it's like we didn't see Justice Hill get hurt.
Right.
But now he's dealing with what's being called a turf toe, which we know can certainly linger. It's not a good injury as a guy who needs to, you know, make quick cuts and
it's all them stutter steps, dude. Come on, Justice.
You know, it's not what you want to see, because that turf toe can stick around. So, but what this does is it makes it a lot more obvious as to why they had Kenyon Drake in, why they were kicking the tires on some other veteran running backs. And, you know, we were like, why is this just for depth? Da, da, da. Well, this is why, because it's pretty clear Justice isn't going to be able to play. So this is going to be the Gus Edwards and Melvin Gordon show. Now, Kenyon Drake is on the practice squad. I assume he'll be elevated game day, because you want to have three running backs, but I got to imagine he's got some catching up to do, because he was here last year.
Brand new offense.
Totally different offense. Yeah, and he said there's some overlap and there's some verbiage overlap as well, but he's still got a pretty steep learning curve to be any bit productive this Sunday. So to me, this is a clear indication we're going to see a whole lot of Gus, because Melvin's on the team and Melvin's been with the team for quite some time now, but I don't think anyone saw anything out of Melvin Gordon in the preseason or in training camp that said, all right, this guy's ready for a big, big role. I think they'll use him sparingly, and we're going to see a whole lot of Gus Edwards.
Yeah, and I think that, look, anytime you say that sentence, I think it's a good thing for Baltimore. I think it always has been. I think it will be, obviously, until Gus is no longer an effective football player, but not too many problems with that, right? I think that it goes right along with the weather and the type of game that we're going to have. To have a guy like Gus Edwards, who is, I would say, at his style of running is you know, if you talk about the running backs that are in his category of a runner, I think he's right up there with pretty much all of them now. I know that a guy like, you know, Derrick Henry and it kind of stands alone as far as that downhill power running, but man, Gus is right up there with all the numbers and efficiency and everything else. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you guys know I beat the drum on on my guy 35 all the time because I think he's just an excellent underrated football player. But yeah, it's certainly going to be the Gus Edwards show this week. We need to make sure that you know we don't get sloppy with the football and keep getting positive plays. But I think all those things will be in line with one Gus Edwards. Now, Adafe Owe, I want to talk about that as well. And I know we'll get into the defense, but since we're on the list, obviously we got Clowney, who's been playing well. We got Ajabo. Bowser isn't back yet. Are you concerned about the lack of pressures that will be the lack of pressure we'll be able to generate with a guy like Adafe out? I mean, he's been playing. Yeah, I know he hasn't gotten the sacks, but he's certainly been getting in and around the quarterback, right?
Yeah, I'm certainly concerned with Adafe being out because now this is going to make a guy like David Ajabo have to play way more snaps.
Yeah,
way more run snaps certainly that they wanted him to play. And
yeah,
I'm confident in Clowney, but yeah, I mean, I think anytime your depth takes a hit, then it makes everyone else pick up more snaps, which of course increases the chance of injury for everyone, as well as I think it lowers their effectiveness when you're coming in fully juiced up because you've had a chance to sit and catch your breath.
Yeah,
is a lot different than being forced to play 60 snaps and take on tackle after tackle, you know, in a run game, which I expect this team to run the ball a lot with Gardner Minshew. And yeah, so I'm worried. Now the counter is it looks like John Harbaugh has announced that Jeremiah Moon will be elevated on game day from the
practice
squad. That'll
be fun to see.
And we saw a lot from him in training camp and in the preseason, and he impressed. And now he impressed going up against primarily backups and not ones. But this is your shot, Jeremiah. Let's see what you got. Let's see. You know, it's a shame that we have Malik Ham on IR because, man, I was really getting juiced up what I was seeing from him, even though he's undersized. Mm-hmm. But, hey, this is an opportunity for Jeremiah to see what he's got because there's not a lot. Like, yeah, we got depth, but there's not like that guy. Like, there's not. So if Jeremiah comes out and shows that he can be trusted and make impact plays, then I think this won't be just a 1 week thing going forward.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I'll also put another name out there. That's Tavius Robinson, right? This gives him an opportunity to expand his role as a player. We've seen some moments from him and like you were kind of talking about in a much a more narrow scope of responsibilities, right? But that's obviously going to widen now. And so go out there and show us what you got. It'll be interesting to see how they use the other guys, like you said, that are quote-unquote depth guys, if any of them do naturally pick up to defending the run better than even in Ajabo. I'm not saying that they're better than David Ajabo, but just at that specific task. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to kind of see how that's weighed in to this whole equation, but certainly those two guys I think are the ones to key in on this week. I'm not
so many starters though, dude.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I'm not disregarding Odell Beckham Jr. either. But the other guys just seem to be newer, fresher to the list and less unknown. When Odell went down last week, I was like, and he didn't come back. I was like, okay, well, he's at least going to be out a week or two. So, you're kind of already psychologically past that. But for the Colts, I think obviously the biggest name is their quarterback. And of course that's Anthony Richardson, who is still out with a concussion. And he was playing well. I think when he went out with the concussion, he had two rushing touchdowns that game, had them, doing well. And I'm kind of bummed that we don't get to play against him because I think he's just an exciting football player. He's got a lot to learn. He's raw, but the guys like that are fun to watch. I didn't want to beat the Ravens, but certainly, this changes the equation for the Colts offensively with your guy under center not playing.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew, as far as backups go, he's definitely got to be considered one of the best number two quarterbacks out there. So it's not like it's not like the Bengals who are turning to a guy who has had zero snaps in his NFL life after Joey Burrow might be forced to miss. This is at least a guy who's got some clout, won some games in the league. And to some degree, he's certainly further along as far as like his ability to read defenses, his ability to, he's seen a lot more than Anthony Richardson, who's played 1 year in college and been knocked out of the only two starts he's had in the NFL. So while you're avoiding the athleticism, which I think is a big thing, because I don't think Roquan and PQ, as much as they have been playing like absolute monsters, want to go chase Anthony Richardson around the field. So I think overall it's a benefit that Richardson is out, but I don't think Gardner Minshew is a guy who can't make plays. He's certainly a talented guy. I think the biggest names on this list or the two offensive linemen.
Talking about Kelly and Nelson.
Ryan Kelly's a big loss for them at center. He's already been ruled out. I think Quentin Nelson's going to play, judging by the full participation in today's practice. But he's got a toe injury that could limit him as well. So those are their two best offensive linemen, and they're both banged up. One of them's not playing at all. So, we're banged up on the offensive line, sure, but we've seen those guys come in and play pretty well against a good Cincinnati Bengals front. The Colts don't know what to think about who's coming in at center. So,
yeah, and our boys on the inside aren't to be underrated.
No, we got some true aren't monsters in there as well. Past. So, yeah, I mean, I injuries on both sides, obviously more substantial for the Ravens. However, we've seen at least one week where the backup for Marcus Williams, Geno Stone, makes a hell of a play. Ronnie Stanley's backup, McCary, blocks his absolute ass off all day. And Tyler Linderbaum's back. Mustafa, he
gets himself a contract.
Yeah, they signed his ass quickly to contract. So, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, even though we have, I mean, how many starters is on that list? Holy. Yeah.
I mean, every person on this list is there's no like.
There's no slouches on that list. They're all impact players. It's crazy.
Yeah, man, that's a tough one. But like you said, we've seen it done. I think the Ravens still have the depth, the firepower, and the right pieces in place. Eight still under center, so knocking on some wood here.
That's right.
But let's get into it. Let's see. Sean Pisker says, I feel this is a trap game. I still think we win, but this game will be closer than we think. Sean, I don't know if I would consider this a trap game.
It's a little early. I mean, I see what he's saying. You come off an emotional high of the Bengals win. Yeah. And you play a team, everyone and their brother is going to pick you to beat. Mm-hmm. I can see why he would call it. I will say this. I think he's right in that it'd be closer than we think, but I think the biggest impact of that would be the weather.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think we should probably talk about that before we, after injuries, before we get into offensive and defensive matchups. Let's talk about this weather, because what's the name? Oh, DK just lost his graphic. That's okay. He's going to pop back up in a second. But it's Ophelia.
Yeah, Ophelia is coming. It's a tropical. What did they call it? Oh, I can't remember the name of it.
Tropical,
but it wasn't
disturbance.
It wasn't tropical storm like I'm used to. It was something that sounded far more severe. But as you can see here, got a high of 69 degrees. But the big one there, 98% chance of precipitation. It's going to be gusty out there. Winds 10 to 15, but I'm sure it's going to gust higher than that. You just never know when it's a nasty, mucky game, how the ball could bounce, and certainly a lesser talented team could sneak a win in a game like this.
Well, I'll tell you who does know.
Who's that?
Anybody that's ever grown up playing football in Florida. You don't think they've been dealing with this forever?
Yeah, but not with the cold.
Well, 69 ain't bad, though. I mean, that's you're true. Right. But I think the stickiness, the humidity.
It ain't bad at all.
By the way, two races ago, that was my bib number. Tanya got there and started cracking up.
Nice.
That was the first thing she said when she saw me. She's like, nice number. But anyway, now this is a family show. I think that experience, like I feel like Lamar doesn't worry as much about that as he does like the dead cold, my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't talked to the guy, but like when it gets real cold out there, I got to imagine – just being less familiar with that, it's a big concern. So Sean says similar
to
similar to when we beat the Chiefs in week 2, then almost laid an egg against the Lions. That's a good point. I mean, like you said, Glenn, it's an emotional game, but it's a different team.
Yeah.
And John usually does well at preparing.
We don't have Hollywood dropping 3 touchdowns like he did against that Lions team.
That's right. Getting hit in the face with ball practically. Gosh. let's hope that's not the case, Sean, but I think it's a fair concern to have.
Yeah.
It's substantiated. Yeah. So all right, let's get into these matchups. I always do this, Glenn. I always depend on you for statistics. One day I will get my act together.
Now do you want me to
the biggest thing here is that like we can talk cold statistics, but just like you said, it's Gardner Minshew under center.
Exactly. So it's kinda like
You kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater with this one because he's a totally different player. I really want to talk about some guys that we need to focus on from our offense and their defense first. And then when we talk about their offense, I think really we should just focus on the guys because even stylistically, it's going to look different, right?
Oh, certainly. With those two, they're very, very different.
Yeah. I mean, they're oil and water. They have very little, you know, to nothing in common as far as how they play the game of football and the fact they play the same position. But this is going to I want to talk about their defense because I'm sure that our expert, Kevin Hickey, who we're going to have on at the tail end of the show, is going to come on and talk about these same guys when we ask him about the defense. But, you know, you talk about DeForest Buckner. You talk about Quiddy Pay coming around. You know, obviously Shaq. And then the Zaire Franklin, like, they got some
tackling
some
machine.
They got some big boys up front. They got a solid O-line D-line. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a true disturbance. See, it's a tropical disturbance.
It was actually a tropical cyclone is what it's being called.
Oh, perfect.
Right. Like, that's not scary.
Perfect. You know,
dude, what is going on in the back of your house right now?
Oh, can you hear dogs that? Can you hear going that? It's my in-laws yapping crap. Dogs, man. They're hardly dogs, to be honest.
No.
All right, give us some breakdown. I'm gonna go quiet them down.
Yeah, absolutely. So Zaire Franklin, as far as I know, is leading the league in tackles right now. Linebacker has 30 tackles through two games. So he's not even the most famous linebacker on their team. Of course, Shaquille Leonard, their very highly paid linebacker, gets most of the name recognition. But Zaire Franklin, 30 tackles through just two games is absolutely insane. And then DeForest Buckner, as far as defensive tackles goes, I think there's probably like three in a class of them by themselves, and that's Donald, Buckner, and from the Steelers. Oh, my goodness. Hayward. To me, those are the three. And then, well, I guess, oh, no, Chris Jones. I almost forgot Chris Jones. But those four are really all, you know, very, very, very close in talent, and I think it's a pretty steep drop-off. DeForest Buckner is as good as it gets. He is disruptive in the run. He's disruptive in the pass game. He's got already two sacks from the D tackle position. It's not something you're normal to see from the D tackle, a guy like DeForest Buckner. So he is absolutely a problem. Like Jimmy mentioned, Quiddy Pay coming around the edge. He's one of those guys that took a couple years to kind of get it going, but he certainly seems like he has now. He's got two sacks as well.
And he's finally healthy.
And that helps as well.
You know, he's finally healthy for sure. So Craig Fox, did you already read this one?
Nope.
I'm down in North Carolina. The wind is no joke in this storm. So I don't know how close is it to hitting. Like when are we going to
tomorrow? It hits us pretty good starting tomorrow. And I'm hoping that, it'll get it kind of most of it out of its off its chest before come Sunday. But
right.
Look, I think they're going to be playing in some rough weather. The rain is one thing, but the wind, Jimbo,
wind is another thing. Yeah.
That's another whole beast.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, though, it's always everybody's played football in the rain as kids, whether it's at the highest level or in your stinking backyard, right? Because it's fun. But, man, the ball gets so dang heavy. Now, I guess it's different in the pros where you're always keeping the ball dry.
You cycle it, yeah.
Then, like, we got the same football we used for 4 years.
Waterlogged.
Yeah, yep. It's just a big old brown turd.
Like a medicine ball you're trying to chuck.
That's
it.
That's right, exactly.
But the other thing is injuries tend to happen when the footing isn't secure. And that's another thing that makes you worried is, are we going to see another rash of injuries hit them? Mm-hmm. Can't predict it, but you certainly got to look out for it.
Yeah. Now, when we're talking about, I'm sure you did while I was getting the dogs to be quiet, I'm sure you did a good job of talking about these guys already. So I kind of want to talk about our offense and, how we match up against these guys, some keys to the game, breakout players, stuff like that. Because it's going to be interesting to see, I think, you know, I feel like last game was a well-balanced diet for the Ravens offense. They played harmoniously. The first game, certainly there was moments where the pass game looked good, but, in the red zone, we went with the run game. Lamar had no passing touchdowns. So it'll be interesting to see how Monken plays it. But one thing I'll say, Glenn, that I think is turning out to be true that we said, because a lot of people guessed about the identity of the offense. One of the things we said was we believed they were going to be a bit ambiguous in their identity, right? To be able to change on a dime the way that they play stylistically from game to game based on opponent, you know, weather, whatever the health, whatever the case may be. So it'll be interesting to see how they play it this week. But one of the things I want to talk about as far as my offensive key to the game is last week we played so well on the offensive line. I think that was the one biggest difference in the game was that Lamar was comfortable. He felt confident. You know what I mean? He just looked good back there, right? He looked calm and collected. And all of that facilitated everything else happening in that game. My opinion, right? I'm not saying that's the only thing that was great, but I think that, you know, a lot of that credit goes to the O-line. So to me, you've got to neutralize some of their strengths. You talked about DeForest Buckner, Quiddy Pay, amongst others. the guys in their front seven are the meat of their defense.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to neutralize that. Our offensive line has got to build on the last game they had. And DK put it up run game time. I think the way that you do that in the rain, you've got to go forward. You got to go forward. It's got to be hard as heck to pass protect in the rain, and it's got to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I say neutralize their strength and keep it going. You got to win up front in this game for sure. This makes me think of, you remember the Niners Ravens game? It was rainy that whole 19.
Oh, yeah. It had like 8 or 9 sacks or something.
Yeah, it was just something crazy, right? So it could end up being something like that. Anyway, that's my key to the game offensively.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. They're definitely strongest in the front seven. That's mm-hmm. the part that has you worried if you're playing the Colts. Their secondary is their weak point. But, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's rain. To me, if the wind isn't crazy, the rain doesn't scare me as much, obviously, as the wind. Because when it's raining out, I think the receivers have a big advantage because they know where they're going. The corner doesn't know where the receiver's going. So if you're trying to check a guy and he makes an unexpected cut and you try and match, you know, the quickness of that cut, it's a good chance that you're going to lose your footing on a super rainy, yucked up day. Now, if the wind is so strong that Lamar can't deliver the ball in a proper spot, then it's going to be tough to take advantage of it. But I do think even though it's raining, you still have an advantage wide receiver versus their secondary. So I don't want to see them go away from it completely, even though, you know, obviously the ground game is going to be important in this weather. But to me, it's all about no self-inflicted wounds. We saw the Ravens bounce back in a big way from a penalty standpoint. They didn't have near the penalties or the yardage that they had in week one. But also, we didn't see a ton of negative plays, period. Like, no sacks against Lamar. We didn't see hardly any tackles for loss that I can remember. And we don't expect that to be the case this week either with big old Gus running. So my big thing is just no self-inflicted wounds. Keep the penalties down. Obviously, turnovers are a huge factor in a game where weather is you know, being this big of a factor in the game. So no self-inflicted wounds. If you just – even if you punt, that's okay. Punting is perfectly fine on a day like tomorrow or Sunday when you're playing an offense that doesn't have a ton of firepower. Because look. Their offense is, we're going to get into it. It's not, it doesn't scare you. I'll put it to you like that, especially not with Jonathan Taylor. But yeah, I think that's a good point, Jimbo. Their strength is up front. If you can somehow neutralize that and don't hurt yourself, then I think you're in good shape.
For sure. Absolutely. I agree with you. Numra says, what's up? Love tuning into the Glenn with one N gets roasted show. Nah, psych. No roast today for me. Love you, boys. Let's get this dub Sunday and go 3-0 for the first time since the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. Go Ravens.
Have we not been 3-0 in history? Is that what he's saying?
I think so. I mean, obviously 14-2 we didn't. We started, what, 0-2, right?
Yeah, 1-2, maybe. Yeah, we had 2 losses early, though. I think it might have been 1-2, but either way.
Oh, right, because we won with – we beat Miami, then we lost to – we got blasted by the Browns, but then we lost another one, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. I think we lost 2 in a row.
1-2, and then we went on to win 12, right?
Or is my math wrong? Yeah, 12 straight.
Yeah.
Yep. But this is appreciate it, Numer. Yeah, I mean, you're a legend. But yeah, I hope they definitely, if they go 3-0, I think the rest of the division is in for a tough weekend this weekend. Mm-hmm. And it could already start to see some separation in the standings, Jimbo.
Yeah, and I'm not mad at it by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. All right, so let's talk about our breakout players. I think it's interesting, little foreshadowing here, who we have considering the weather. We happen to both have wide receivers. I'll let you go first on this one. I think you got a good one based on what's going on, but talk to me about him.
Yeah, with OBJ out, I've liked what I've seen from Rashad Bateman. I mean, yeah, he's been overshadowed by Zay Flowers and others, but to me, I've seen the old Rashad Bateman back, you know,
and improved, right? Don't you think he looks so smooth?
He looks good, and I think he's going to have a much bigger role this week. So the reason I picked Rashad is because I remember, you know, he's the kind of guy you can get him the ball. And so is to your, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but you got a guy who's pretty darn good at this too. But I what I like about Bateman is I think he's right now flying a bit under the radar when it comes to other DCs. Whereas I think Zay is certainly not under anybody's radar at this point, and Mark Andrews is, you know, the staple. So I think Bateman is going to receive the least amount of attention of the primary three targets. And I could have put Nelson in here as well. I think Nelson could have a big game as well. But I put Bateman in there because I love his yak. And I think if it's a game where you can't let the ball travel too many air yards, you're going to want to get the ball out of your hands quick. And I like Zay's too, but I think Bateman's shown the ability to take a short pass and turn it into a big, big gain. And so that's what I'm predicting. I'm predicting that they'll get him the ball, some sort of a short pass, whether it's a bubble screen or a short slant or some sort of crossing route, drag route. They get him the ball. He makes somebody miss, and he takes it a long, long way, Jimbo.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, I think just like you said, he's got the ability to hit a lane, and you know he has that top end straight speed. And Lamar said he looks faster than he used to, so that's exciting to hear. My guy, of course, no surprise, but I'm not going with a dark horse this week. I didn't go to dark horse last week on Mark Andrews, but Zay Flowers. So I'm going with. I just want to add a bit to my description here. I think he's going to get his. He doesn't have a tutty, right?
Who's that? Yeah, no.
No, yeah. I think he gets his first touchdown. I think he gets 100 plus yards. You talked about it, Glenn. I think that the way that they get Zay the ball in short yardage situations and having to defend him in a 1-on-1 scenario where it's rainy and wet, I think is really to the disadvantage of the guy that's trying to tackle him. I think it's going to be a problem. The dude gets separation in perfect conditions. I think this is really going to be a problem for a defender that has a guy like Zay Flowers coming out with a full head of steam, and you gotta try and stop him. So I think he ends up with a lot of yak in this game, 100 plus yards and a touchdown. I almost said two touchdowns, but I figured I'd just stick with one.
Let's not get crazy here, Jimbo. We got to leave enough for Gus.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because there's going to be a big dose of Gus, right?
That's your guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right.
But
yeah.
I think both of them could show out. I think this is a game where hope that – what I hope for is that I just don't want to see any sloppiness. You know, I don't want to see any balls on the ground from Lamar, you know, all that, because the rain is going to cause some challenges. And another thing they got to do is get their footwear right, Jimbo, because what I don't want to see is Zay catch the ball and try and put a move on someone and – he does an inadvertent split in the middle of the field. So got to get the cleats right for this weekend, but I'd hope we'd have the advantage in that regard being as a home game.
Yeah, I agree. That's definitely a concern. I agree with that as well. But ultimately, I think that our offense matches up favorably against this defense.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to what we can do in that matchup. Now let's kind of flip the coin to the other side here. Talk about the Colts offense and the Ravens defense. Now, as far we kind of talked about this, let's just really focus on players to watch, right? Because Glenn, you said it. Gardner Minshew is probably a top three, five. I mean, clearly top five, like backup quarterback, probably a top three backup quarterback in the NFL. A proven guy, smart guy, calculated. Certainly a game. I mean, I call guys like Gardner Minshew a game manager plus, because he can be a game manager, but he also has the ability to be a bit more than just a game manager. Like Tyler Huntley's a game manager to me. Gardner Minshew's a step better than that. And I like Tyler, obviously, but I think that Gardner Minshew is just a little bit above that, where he can make the big player two to win the game. With that being said, I mean, I think as far as his help around him, Michael Pittman is the guy. He's a big, rangy receiver. But I want to talk about one guy that you talked about going under the radar, and I think he had a decent game last week as well. Of course, Zach Moss, I know him well, played at Utah, but I think because Jonathan Taylor's out, everyone's like, oh, we got a cakewalk in the backfield. If you remember, Zach came out of the draft, I think he was a fourth rounder to Buffalo. And really what happened to Buffalo is they don't care about the run game. Like, let's be honest, they just don't care. But Zach is a three down back, and he can be productive in the passing game. He's a good blocker, and he's a good runner. He's just solid at everything. I'm not saying he's a superstar, but certainly if you're in a game like this, if you're not disciplined with your tackles, he's a bigger guy, right? If you're not disciplined with, not only your tackles, but your assignments, right? Like, he can do some things to make life difficult for you. So I think that's another guy certainly to keep an eye on. It's not just, it's not Jonathan Taylor, so it's no one. They got a guy back there.
Yeah, and they didn't week one, because week one, Moss wasn't able to suit up.
Injured, right.
And they had a guy, Deion Jackson, go in and carry the ball 13 times and gain a whopping 14 yards. Right. Zach Moss was a breath of fresh air. He had 18 carries last week for 88 yards, just under 5 yards a carry,
right,
with a touchdown as well.
That's a game, man. And he's in college, he was a bell cow, right? Like I think he probably touched over 300 times his senior year, right? Like, it was just.
And he's a good player, but let's be pretty clear. The Ravens run defense is
yeah.
no joke.
No.
And so even with a guy like Oweh out, who's a heck of an edge player at this point, I still expect the Ravens to play the run very, very well. Even with, you know, even if let's say Quentin Nelson ends up out there, even with, you know, their best guard, probably the best guard in football, I still expect the Ravens to bottle them up. Now, you mentioned it. Michael Pittman is their guy on the outside. He's got 23 targets, which is by far and away the most through the first 2 weeks. He's got 16 catches, 153 yards, and he has one touchdown so far. But they don't have any speed on this team, Jimbo. Like, I look around, I go, who scares you? Like, they're
right.
Michael Pittman's a big body, and he can make contested catches, and he can make the tough grab over the middle. He's a good player. But I just don't feel like they have that complimentary piece. Josh Downs, the young guy, he's had a decent start. He's got 7 catches for 67 yards so far through 2 games. But after that, those two guys, I mean, you're talking about 2 tight ends who I've never even heard of as their next 2 biggest target getters and pass catchers. So I just think they don't really challenge you at all through the air. It just doesn't scare me in any way. And even with the fact that they lost another corner, in our Darius Washington,
yeah,
I'm still not intimidated or scared by their passing attack, even if it was perfectly clear weather or raining, whatever weather. I just have no fear of their passing attack. So to me, I mean, yeah, you worry about Zach Moss, but that's all you really gotta worry about, unless you completely lay an egg, against Pittman or Downs.
Yeah, well, speaking of cornerbacks, I mean, I just kind of want to skip ahead real quick. I know we're going to get to our defensive keys of the game, but I'm just going to tell you now.
Oh, here we go.
Brandon Stevens is my defensive breakout player of the game. And you kind of – it's funny because without even doing so, right, like you kind of broached the topic as to why I think that's the case. The weather bodes in his favor. Mm-hmm. Gardner Minshew being a backup quarterback bodes in his favor. I think they're going to be down, so even in the weather, they're going to have to be forced to throw. I think that Brandon Stevens gets his hands on a football this week and gets an interception. He's
what?
That's right.
Ball skills, Brandon.
That's right. He finally gets it done. I just want to say that this is an incredible statistic, right? And look, if anyone out there says that they called this other than me, I'm calling complete BS.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what it is. I don't want to hear it because I talked to every insider. I talked to everyone. No one stuck up for Brandon Stevens like this guy right here. No one.
No one.
Just want to read.
I'm still not ready to put my name next to Brandon Stevens. Okay.
I just want to say this: 30 snaps, and you know, in coverage, 4 targets, 2 receptions.
One-on-one coverage.
Yeah. In one-on-one coverage, he's had 30 snaps, 4 targets, 2 receptions, 19 yards, 1 forced incompletion, and a 63.5% passer rating. The boy is balling out and deserves his flowers right now, right?
He's playing his ass off. And look, there's been no doubt for much of Stevens' game. It's just, like you mentioned, you said he's going to get a pick. I would be stunned if he got a pick because he's got encyclopedias for hands, so mm-hmm. he can stick with you, mm-hmm. but it's hard to catch a ball when your hands are 2 books, you know, like he's got
like Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah. Except instead of he's got 2 dictionaries as hands. And so, yeah, he's a good player. And I know they love his toughness. He'll smack you. I mean, he'll hit you right in the mouth.
No fear, makes no business decisions.
0. Oh yeah, there's no business decisions to be made, but he just has 0 hands, which is crazy because he's a converted offensive player in college, which is just crazy.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it's crazy to think about because he is an offensive guy by nature, right? Like he only played what 1 year as a DB in college, but I think that lends to the fact that he's just simply still developing. What's happening now is that he's it's a development, right? Now he's not only staying in your hip pocket. He's mm-hmm. making the progression this year is he's making the moves on the ball, right? Like he's breaking and he's doing those things. Now give him some time to not get too excited about it. He knows he's there. He's disciplined. Boom, makes the interception. And we're headed the other way, baby. So I say Brandon Stevens gets it done this week. Gardner Minshew is going to throw him a loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's gonna get his hands on it, baby.
Well, I'm going to say my breakout player is going to be Mr. Kyle Hamilton. He's been quiet in the first 2 weeks. Haven't heard a ton. He did make that huge tackle against Irv Smith last week that would have just went for 100 yards had he not made that tackle. But I think this week, the reason I picked him is because I expect him to at this point, start helping out more in last year's role. I think we will see more of Kyle Hamilton coming down in the nickel, helping out as a dime corner. I think we'll see him deployed in some similar fashions as we saw last year, not just because of the necessity because of injury, but also the weather, I think, is going to – I mean, I just can't imagine Gardner airing many balls out very deep. So I think the primarily the attack will be short and maybe intermediate. So let's get our best players into that short and intermediate area. Let's get Kyle Hamilton down there, and let's see some of what he showed us last year.
Like it.
And I think he'll get his hands on like a tip ball or he'll force a fumble like he did last year. It was a big, big fumble he forced, I think, against the Bengals, if I remember correctly. But some player or another, Kyle Hamilton's going to make a big one. And then to me, the key to the game is tackling in space. We saw the Ravens do a masterful job last week, led by Geno Stone and Patrick Queen, and of course Roquan. But I think this is going to be really important this game, because the ball's, again, I think if they're going to throw it, it's going to come out quick, and they're going to look to get guys in space and hope to make some guys slip and fall and turn something short into something longer. So tackling in space is absolutely vital in a game where the footing is going to be uncertain.
Yeah, I think that that's huge. And I'll add to that, I think that, and I talked about playing from a lead, offense has something to do with this, but you got to put it all in Minshew's hands, right? I said don't underestimate Moss already.
Dude,
as
you got to come up with a new key, dude. Every week you tell us to put it in the quarterback's hands.
I didn't say that about Joey. I said,
not about Joe, but you did against, Stroud,
and it made sense.
Well, that's true.
I mean, look,
you're not gonna do it against Joe Burrow because they already put the ball in his hand.
Right? You don't. Right? Exactly. You want to keep the big plays to minimum, tackle, and keep everything in front of you. That's what you do with Joey. Look, I wouldn't have said that if it were Richardson, because Richardson. Hold on.
You wouldn't have told them the letter rookie beat us?
I would have said it differently. No, I would have said it differently. I would have said it differently. I would have said it, but I would have framed it differently.
I would have packaged it a little different.
Yeah, I would have simply said, make Richardson turn into a pure passer.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you said
right? Like, that's Richardson the idea. And I'm not saying he can't, but because he's a rookie, I think that would be difficult. So if you can bottle him up, keep him in front of you. But I think with Minshew, let him throw it 50 times. That's his nature anyway. He's the, he's the Daisy Duke swearing, cowboy boot wearing, RV living gunslinger, right? Like, he's a gunslinger. Let him gunsling. It ain't going to work out. Like, it's just that simple. It isn't going to work against his defense. So give him what he wants, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, let him feel nice and confident throwing the ball around, and then he's going to start throwing to the wrong team.
Right. Just don't let Moss do 18 for 88 in a tutty. We got to keep that under control, because the guy is capable. I'm not saying he's Jonathan Taylor, but he's not a slouch, is my point.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he can do his thing.
So my key to the game is stop the run. How about that?
I like it.
Is that better? Yeah, all those other things will happen if you stop the run.
Fair point. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So. And look, I feel for all.
You can't say I didn't make that the same one this week. Now it's officially stopped the run.
All I know is next week I'm gonna be watching your keys to the game.
Oh, and it's Deshaun Watson, so you know.
I know what you're gonna do. You're gonna say, "Make Deshaun beat you." I know it. No. Well, look, Deshaun, he's gonna have to beat everyone because Nick Chubb is out. So
yeah, their best offensive player is kaput.
Now Kareem Hunt is look good in practice, is what I'm hearing, but.
Yeah, and he's no Nick Chubb.
No. But he's not bad. He's not a bad. Kind of odd that he was still sitting out. I guess probably some of the off the field stuff is the reason.
And I think he was waiting for the right opportunity too.
Gotcha.
I bet you he got calls. I think he was waiting for the right opportunity. And this is the perfect opportunity.
Well, they were desperate, so he probably had him by the gazungas.
Exactly. And he got. You see, he can get paid up to $4 million.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he had a little negotiating power when he was in there.
That's right.
But. Jimbo, without further ado, it's time for our favorite part of the show, and it's time for our weekly competition. And, of course, this segment is brought to you guys by BetUS, where the BetUS is the OG in sports betting. They are – not only are they the OG, but they're – I think they're the most generous in that not only will they match your initial deposit up to $2,500, but they'll give you a little extra on top of it. They'll match 125% of your initial deposit up to $2,500. It is free money. Mm-hmm. I think the line right now is 8.5. I think it could be a long, long weekend for the Indianapolis Colts. I just don't see how they put enough points on the board to hang with what the Ravens are going to be putting up this Sunday. So I would say go with what you know. Of course, gamble responsibly. Yep. Only gamble with what you can afford to lose. But check out BetUS. They have everything from in-game bets, player props, season-long bets. I mean, you can bet on the coin toss and the national anthem. You can bet on anything at BetUS. Don't forget to use our promo code to get that match of 125%. And just let us know your successes.
Yeah, let me also add to that. If you are, like I've been in other scenarios where you're trying to get friends or family to get interested, so you're not watching the game by yourself, there are plenty of games I prefer to watch by myself. There's always those friends that you're like, they ask a million questions, and you're like, dude, I'm not in the mood. Stop. You know, or they're like cheer at the wrong times, or like cheer for the wrong thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's a fumble and it's recovered by their defense, and they're like, yeah! And you're like, dude, I'm gonna punch you in the face. But you have plenty of friends or family who you want to watch the game. This is an easy way to get them excited about it. Mm-hmm. Let's have some fun on BetUS. Let's bet on the national. Trust me, they'll be glued to that dang TV like their life depends on it. Yep. And ultimately, this helps the show. It's a fun way for you guys to have some fun and help the show. So we appreciate the support. Back your boys at 410 Sports Talk and use the link that's in the description.
Awesome. Yeah, buddy.
Let's get right into it, Glenn. I'm excited to talk about it. I'm a bit nervous because I forgot to consider the weather on some of these, but I'm
nervous too when you're taking on the G-Man.
I am 2-0, so not too much to be nervous about, but
did you change anything?
Nothing. I'm sticking with my conviction because 2-0 and I shoot from the hip, baby.
You do shoot from the hip. I'm not changing it to you. Yeah. Just quick answers. I saw you filling it in. I think we were filling our answers
at the same time. I saw you go right after me.
Yep.
Bing. Yeah.
You know, a little gamesmanship.
I like it. Nothing wrong with it. All right, DK, what's the first one we got? All right, over under, number one, Gus Edwards. Oh, and let me actually back up. All you guys can, of course, participate in our competition if you're new to the show. Mm-hmm. This competition, not just for us internally, it's for all you guys. The winner gets a t-shirt, or if it's second time winning, you get a hoodie. So just simply message us with your answers before the game starts in the comments after this video is over, not in the chat, in the comments, or with any of the social media handles that you see above Glenn's head. And DK will identify the winner and we'll let you know who it is, and some swag will show up in the mail. But number one, Gus Edwards rushing over under 69.5 yards. The last game he ran for 62. Glenn, what say you, my friend?
This is an easy one for me. With the absence of Justice Hill, yep, J.K. Dobbins, and really the ineffectiveness of Melvin Gordon, I got to say this is a slam dunk over. I think he goes over 100.
Wow, over 100 for old over 100. Gus Edwards. I like it.
He's going to be slippery. He's already hard to tackle. Imagine Edwards.
His long's going to be like 11.5.
Hey, it'll be a bruising 11.5.
That's right, dude. But it won't, you know, because other guys, you'd be like, oh, he'll break off for a 40. That's just not Gus's style, you know. Not saying he can't do it, but that's just not how he makes the donuts. Mm-hmm. So, I went over as well. I went over before I considered the weather. That's how much faith I got in this guy. So, just saying. DK, you went over. DK went over as well. So, we got clean sweep here. All right, let's go to number two. Over under, Lamar Jackson completions, 26.5. Last week, he had 24. I'm a bit concerned about this one.
This is the one you're referring to where you didn't check the weather.
Yeah, I didn't consider the weather. So talk.
He's sitting in California going, isn't this how it is everywhere? No.
That's right.
No. Not in Baltimore. I say under because of the weather. Mm. I think he'll be somewhere around 22 completions is where I'm figuring, but this is obviously a game for the ground attack.
It's gonna be interesting. And Glenn, I was on the keyboard ready to change it, and I said nope.
Don't do it, dude. Don't do it.
I see you talking me into it because you know it's a bad answer.
You know,
but I'm gonna stick with it.
You gotta let one of those.
I'm gonna ride because I'm saying Lamar's gonna rip it, dude. I'm not saying they're gonna be long passes.
Yeah, you don't.
It's the short stuff.
That's it.
You know,
short stuff. That was also Jimmy's nickname back in high school.
Potentially. But look, 26 and a half, he'll get 28.
Dang, that's a lot of completions in the rain. But okay, yeah, all right.
20 to you know, 10 to Zay, some short ones.
10 to Zay, yeah, that's your guy, right?
That's right. Just some short, just give him some dunks. Just dink and dunk it over there. Oh, and that's the other reason. I'm glad that Bailey Got Beads brought this up, because the reason that I went with over, because I didn't consider the weather, the big thing was I thought, okay, we talked about it, the meat of their defense is up front. Well, let's go after that secondary that's doo-doo anyway. Now, like you said, weather is going to change this equation, but I don't think they're backing down.
No, I agree. Oh, by the way, did you see Rashad Bateman was fined $16,000 for that crackback block?
So dumb.
Dude, they are quick to take thousands and thousands of dollars.
Can we free football? Like, can we free the game of football, please? Like, can we stop over-legislating football?
To take money, especially because some of these guys, they don't have the big multi-million dollar deals. Like, you're taking money out of these guys'
pockets. He's a first-rounder.
So, well, he does, but I'm saying there's many guys around the league that get thousands and thousands of dollars taken from it. And then where's the – like, if I hear it's going to a good place, I'll be less upset. But where's this money going?
It's that $44 million year salary to old – what's
if it was
name?
Going to, like, the older players and healthcare for, like, the guys who made this game what it is, then I'm less upset about it. But they're so quick to take that money, man.
Yeah, football is ruthless and barbaric. There's an old saying, keep your head on a swivel. Hey, offensive player or defensive player, head on a swivel, bro, or else you pay the price. This is the big leagues.
Well, I mean, he got thrown. He got a penalty.
Yeah. Is that not enough?
I mean, you got to go to that. I mean, you could charge. You could maybe, if you're going to find him, maybe a couple G's, maybe. But you're going to find him that type of scratch?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's brutal. But
what do we got next?
Yeah, what do we got next? Here we go. All right, Ravens tackles for loss. Over under 2.5. Last week, just one. One tackle for loss. I guess that's the Clowney sack. That's not very good. So what do you think, Jimbo? Over under?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm distracted. Uh-oh. I'm pretty sure my son just hurt himself, but he'll be okay. I'm going over here because I think that they get Minshew twice.
Dang, dude. I heard that, dude. I thought that was Nathan. No, I'm just kidding.
I think they get Minshew twice and they get Zach in the backfield at least once. There's going to be some broken plays in the backfield for both teams because of the weather, right? Not necessarily broken, but you know what I'm saying? Like a defender's going to slide through. Somebody's going to try and break away and slip. That's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think you get Minshew twice and you know he's trying to evade guys and it's rainy. And then you get to the back once. That's all it takes to be over. I don't think that's asking too much. So I'm going over.
No. Well said. And I think both me and DK firmly agree. So no more needed there. Let's move on to the next one. Colts turnovers. 1.5 is where DK said it. Last week, the Colts had 0. The Ravens had 1 takeaway from the Bungles last week. So what do you think, Jimbo? Over or under 1.5 takeaways from the Colts?
Yeah, I'm sticking with under. I think the lone takeaway is my boy Brandon Stevens get his hands on the football.
Okay.
Now, it's also fair to say there could be a lot of fumbles.
Yeah, the ball could get slippery. I mean, you never know with that quarterback running back exchange or center quarterback exchange, the ball could end. And that's what I predict. I predict a fumble, not an interception this week. Okay. But I do predict a fumble. Under? I'm going to go under. I think Kyle Hamilton's going to be involved again, like I mentioned. I think he's going to pop one out with maybe an aggressive tackle in the flat, which could be a game-changing play. But, yeah, I'm going to say under. DK says over. He thinks it's going to get a little sloppy out there for the Colts. And, honestly, I'm hoping DK's right about that one because I think if we win the turnover battle in a weather-impacted game, that's a huge indicator. But I'll say under as well.
Yeah, and I think DK, just like you said, he's got there's logic there for sure. Like obviously the chat agrees with DK over. But sometimes I think the weather's funny. It just ends up having an impact in some games and other games it just doesn't. You know, I don't know. It's just kind of goofy that way. All right, let's see. That was the last of the over unders. Well, the original four. Now we'll go to the tiebreakers.
Yep.
Got it. Okay. So the first tiebreaker here is, of course, the total score over under 44 points. I put mine in. I didn't see what you guys have, of course. I'm the only one that went over.
Speaking of course.
And I'm because I'm the only one that picks the Ravens to score points here, apparently.
What?
So I'm going over the Ravens.
Dude, I got us winning 32-0, bro. What do you mean?
Shut up. No, you do not.
I got them scoring more than you, bro, and giving up way less.
I'm saying 30-16. The Ravens win this one decisively over my total being 46.
Look, we don't the score prediction doesn't matter as long as we get the over under right?
Yeah.
All right, sure. Good. So I'm gonna say sure. Under, and I'm gonna say the Ravens win 40-0 because I believe in our team, unlike you.
Oh my gosh.
You think they'll give up 16 points to these nasty Colts?
How many did they give up to the Texans? Texans offense way worse.
Man, dude. So yeah, I got us winning 40-0, folks. So you know who likes their team and who doesn't.
We'll see who's right.
See how I flipped the whole script on you, Jim.
Yeah, only because you know the actual score doesn't matter. That's why. That's exactly the only reason.
Right. That's exactly right.
I know.
DK agrees with me, however. He says under, and he also says 40-0.
DK put down 400-0 because DK would. He also predicted us to run for 6,000 yards this game.
All right, and then the last tiebreaker is the closest to the pin for the Ravens' total yards for the game.
Let me see. Do I have the most as well? Of course I do. DK usually gets this one.
Yeah, but I kind of did DK a little dirty on this one.
You did, Glenn.
You know what? I wanted the low number because of the weather, and DK picked 325. Jimmy says we're going to go for 375. So I said 320. So anything less than really 323, I'm winning. Okay? And look, I need a win, Jimbo.
You do.
Because I should be at the top of the standings. I should be.
Why is that? No.
That's just how I feel.
But it's objective. I mean, it's objective.
Yeah, but I feel like I should be at the top. And so I need to get there. Okay? You know?
Good luck to you, my friend.
I need to be at the top of that podium. Right now, I'm standing in the bronze section, dude. I don't want to be bronze. I want to be gold.
You're like me on fantasy, dude.
Exactly, dude. I want to be platinum, baby. I want to be at the top. So, but yeah, again, guys, if you want to participate,
yes, please do.
Message all your over under answers and your tiebreakers to us on one of the social media handles above, or you can wait for the live to be over and put it in the comments below. If you have to edit your comment, don't edit it. Just delete it and start a new one, because if you edit it, it doesn't tell us when that comment came in, and we can't verify that it was entered before the game kicked off. So it's a big weekend in a sense that the Ravens, I think, could start to kind of separate themselves a bit. There's only two undefeated teams left in the AFC. It's us and the Dolphins. So we're already seeing how tough this AFC is and how even the best of the best are already taking L's. So if the Ravens can somehow start 3-0 in this tough AFC, that's a heck of a way to start this this season. So I'll be rooting for them like absolutely crazy. But without further ado, we do have our guest, special expert. But go ahead, Jimbo.
I just want to say, I want to intro him because I'm on my way out the door.
That's
my
right.
My wife has prepared reserved a birthday dinner for me and my family. My birthday is coming up, which I'm excited about. But the one, the only, the friend of the show, Kevin Hickey with the fresh haircut, the best baseball player we have on this show. That's right. Welcome, of course, one of the editors at Colts Wire, Mr. Kevin Hickey himself. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank
I didn't
you.
Know that.
I
That's awesome.
Big 33, baby.
Hey, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, washed up baseball player. So let's get that clear.
I always forgot, I forgot about the pipes you got, Kevin. I mean, you come in here so sultry, dude.
It's the mic. It's the mic. The mic makes me sound like that.
He's got the chain on. He's ready.
Hey, we're feeling good. We're feeling good. We got the little fresh cut.
That's right,
man.
Yeah. I appreciate it, guys.
You boys have a great time. Kevin, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
Glenn, I'll talk to you soon. DK, I'll talk to you soon. I'm going to win. I just want to say this.
No,
it's Hispanic Heritage Week, of course. Okay. So vamos Ravens, let's go, baby. That's the catchphrase this week. Vamos Ravens, vamos a ganar.
Orale. Love that.
I'm out of here.
See
you. All right, man.
My man. All right. Well, appreciate you jumping in with us here, Kevin, and giving us a Indianapolis perspective. Before we get into this game, we know that Anthony Richardson's not going to be able to suit up. But I still want to get your take on the young rookie, because to me, he's been impressive. I mean, yeah, he's been knocked out of the games, which you don't like to see. You want to see him finish the games and gain some more experience. But, I mean, it to me, if you look at, like, what he's doing in Indy and compare, like, Justin Fields and what's going on in Chicago, like, he seems way further ahead than a lot of people were expecting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even the Colts were pretty high on him, and a lot of the analysts around the Colts were pretty high on him, at least, you know, compared to, other draft analysts. But I think he is, you know, way more ahead of what they thought he was going to be in terms of his developmental plan. I mean, really the big thing for him, obviously, is just the experience, right? 13 starts in college, it's almost an entirely different sport going from that to the NFL. And just being a starter, and you got to be the guy in the huddle. So I think the biggest thing for him that's been so impressive is his ability to get the play calls out, spit the play calls, make sure everybody's doing everything right, make sure all the protections are correct, make sure everybody's in their right spot, make sure he knows what he's doing. And then on top of that, he's still able to make some changes at the line. He's not doing anything crazy, but I think he's been very impressive in that regard. And then the physical game for him is just, you know, he's got to let that take over, and he will, and he has. And I think that's why a lot of people have been, you know, even I've been a little more impressed with the stuff, especially the intermediate throws, because that's where he really struggled in college. But he looks like he's got a lot better timing, at least even compared to the preseason. A lot better timing, a lot better rhythm. You know, he'll have misses. That's pretty evident, and that's going to happen. Just because he's so young, so inexperienced. But yeah, I mean, we've been pretty impressed, and it is a bummer that he can't play this week, because I was really looking forward to that matchup. I was really excited to see how him and Lamar were going to trade blows. But yeah, I mean, all things considered, it's been a pretty optimistic start in Indy.
No doubt. Yeah, it's pretty cool to see. Certainly see the similarities, you know, the doubts that Lamar heard, Richardson heard, pretty much the same one. So it's nice to see him starting off, you know, outside the injuries on a pretty good note. Now, what's your early impressions on the new head coach? Is it Steichen?
Yeah.
Shane Steichen, yeah, comes over from the Eagles. You know, obviously had great success as the OC there. What's your early impressions on Shane Steichen taking over head coaching duties?
Yeah. I mean, you're always going to have whenever you get a new head coach, there's always kind of that honeymoon period, you know, and I think that goes, you know, that's for every team.
Same with Saturday?
No, we don't have to get into that. No. I mean, that's, look, for some fans, it was. For some fans, they loved that. They loved that.
Irsay loved it, you know?
Hey, Irsay loved it. He loved it a little too much, I think. But he's definitely a guy that is just all ball, right? Like, he's the only thing he's focused on is football. And you know, you've had to deal with the Jonathan Taylor thing, that whole saga. He's had to deal with some injuries, but you can just tell that Steichen's just, he's all ball, and he's a really smart guy. I mean, this guy knows how to craft an offensive game plan. He knows how to connect with his players, which I think is huge, especially for a guy coming in. It's a young team, but there are a lot of established veterans, both on the offense and the defensive side. So I think it was important for him to come in and immediately get, you know, that veteran group to buy in, which I think he's done. So you hope that Anthony Richardson can stay healthy enough to where they can really get into a rhythm. But no, it's been all pretty positive. And, you know, that's going to happen in the honeymoon phase. But this team has been fighting, and it's clear that they're ready to play for him.
Nice. Yeah. I think Colts fans should be excited about this guy. I think they got one in him. But now I know I want to get to the game, but I got to quickly ask, what do you expect the resolution of the Jonathan Taylor situation to be? Does he ultimately get traded? Is there any chance that they can somehow kind of rekindle this relationship?
Yeah, it's tough, man, because it's like, I get it, right? Like, I get it from Jonathan Taylor's side, especially look at what happened to Nick Chubb. You know what I mean? Brutal. I get it. You got to get your money while you can. You got to get that bag. Your career as a running back already is shortened compared to other careers. So I get it. But then I also get where the Colts are coming from. You know, it's an unstable position. It's a position that does have fragility, more fragility than other positions. And when you look at the Super Bowl winning teams, none of them in over the last 10 years have paid big money to the running back position. So you kind of see where they're both coming at. I think both sides now wish it wasn't as public as it was. I think that's really where both sides made the mistake, both in, you know, because Jonathan Taylor got a new agent this offseason, and his kind of mentality, his philosophy was let's get the public on our side. That didn't really work. Jim Irsay is a very public person. So, you know, he's going to go straight to Twitter.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're dealing with those two kind of aspects, it kind of caught fire a lot faster than everybody thought. In terms of rekindling the relationship, I think it's always possible. I think you have two sides that are intelligent. You have two sides that do care about each other. I think Jonathan Taylor probably does care about, you know, I think he cares about his teammates. I think he cares about his coaches. You know, I think he does have a good relationship with Chris Ballard. And I believe Chris Ballard when he says that he really cares about Jonathan Taylor. But they also have to make a business decision. So, you know, it's always tough when that happens. And it's hard to not take those things personally. So I think there is a resolution somewhere. I don't know if it happens. The Colts have the leverage contractually. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he has to be physically ready to play before week six. He's eligible to come off after week four, but he has to be active, I think, for six games. If he's not, then his contract tolls. Mm-hmm. And basically we're right where we were next year.
And there's no way he can let that happen.
And yeah, you're not going to let that happen, because then what are we talking about? You know what I mean? Cause you want to be a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're really going to, you know, nail your feet into the ground, you're really going to stand your ground. You're probably, if you're not going to get traded, you're going to just play through the season and hope you're healthy and be a free agent, go somewhere else. But you can't do that if your contract tolls. So I think cooler heads will prevail. Whether it ends in a contract extension, I have no idea, because there's so much unknown about this, and there was a lot of damage behind the scenes. So it's a tough situation to gauge. We'll probably know more, I'd say, probably around next week, probably around week four. We'll probably start hearing some reports coming out, but
I better honestly not see the damn Chiefs trade for him or something. So I'm going to be furious. If they get, I mean,
it's funny because, you know, Ballard is very well connected with the Chiefs, but I think he also knows, like, he knows, like, if Jonathan Taylor goes to the Chiefs, I mean,
that's trouble.
What are we doing? You're just helping the enemy. So yeah,
that's trouble. Yeah.
You know, I think they want him. They want him to stay. So it's something that it's going to take a lot of work to come to a resolution. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if that's just, hey, you know, prove to us you're healthy for three games and we'll give you a deal. Or if it's just like, hey, we're just not going to pay you this year because we got to figure out this offense. We got to make sure everybody gels, which he probably will. But, you know, Steichen's a guy that doesn't really, they don't necessarily use a bell cow running back. I know Zach Moss took all the carries and played all the running back snaps last week in his debut coming off a forearm injury, but that was mostly because what they had before him and Deion Jackson. I mean, it was brutal in week one.
Was it 14 carries, 15 yards?
It was 13 carries for 14 yards. It was brutal. It was, I mean, I think he had like five receptions, but it was just bad. It was just really bad. And then Evan Hull gets hurt, their fifth round pick. So
I think you guys need to turn to Jake Funk, the old Terp.
Hey, he got some run. I mean, he got some run a little bit.
Let that Terp get out
good,
there.
Look, he's a good special teams guy. They love him on special teams. So
my guy, man.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I really wish I had an answer for you, and I know it's kind of a cop out answer to be like, oh, I don't know what's gonna happen, but I really don't know what's gonna happen. I mean, it's kind of a we're gonna find out at the same time what's gonna happen. But I think there is a chance that they, you know, cooler heads prevail and everything. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, offensively, both teams are dealing with some injuries up front. The offensive line, both teams are going to be playing this Sunday without their starting center. It looks, at least from my vantage point, that Quentin Nelson getting in a full practice today. I assume that he's in line to start. But when you look at their offense, the Colts offense versus the Ravens defense, where do you look at as like, all right, this is an opportunity the Colts to take advantage of and move the ball and maybe get some points on the board? Do you see an area where the Colts can find a weakness and take advantage of it?
Yeah, I mean, you're probably – and it's interesting because the offense isn't going to change a whole lot with Minshew because he's been with Steichen. This is his third year with Shane Steichen because he was in Philly the last 2 years. So it's not going to change a whole lot. Obviously, you're not going to see as many designed runs. You know, he's not Anthony Richardson. So you will still see a lot of RPO concepts, but not necessarily, you know, they're not going to have that. They're not going to have the quarterback run in there as much. So I think if they're really going to attack somewhere, they're probably going to have to attack the seams. They're probably going to have to attack the safeties. Whether the offensive line is going to give them enough time to do that, I don't know. You know, another matchup I think they can look at. I really like Brandon Stevens, slot corner for the Ravens. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, the Colts have a pretty good matchup with Josh Downs. He's having a pretty good start to the season. So I think that's somewhere where they're going to try to really get some quick hitting passes going, really get the offense in the rhythm. And then I think that's somewhere where they're probably going to focus, especially with that weather you guys are going to have. I mean,
tropical cyclone, Kevin.
Unbelievable. So you know, it's probably going to be hard to air the ball out. So you're going to have to use the quick passing game and focus on the run. So, you know, the guy replacing Ryan Kelly, Wesley French, he's making his first career start. He was an undrafted guy last year. So, you know, we have no idea what he's going to look like. He could be a gem. He could be a diamond in the rough, or he could show us why he was undrafted. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works, especially because he's not going to be able to make as many calls at the line. Ryan Kelly's a veteran. He's able to make changes, make calls at the line. So that's going to be a big disadvantage for the Colts, but I could see them trying to attack the seams. I can see them, you know, Steichen's always going to try to make plays down the field. So I could see them trying to attack the seams and then working with the slot and working with the quick passing game over the middle too.
Yeah, and on the defensive side of the ball, obviously, I mean, at least from my perspective, it looks like the front seven is the strength of the Colts defense. I mean, that front seven has got some serious talent. And then it's funny too, because when like an outsider would look at this defense and look at the linebacker room and go, oh, it's Shaq Leonard and then the guys. But as far as I know, Zaire Franklin's leading the league in tackles with 30 tackles in two games, which is absolutely insane. So when you look at this Ravens offense, last week they had a much improved offensive game than they did in week one against the Texans. Lamar looked absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They limit the Bengals to no sacks. They're airing the ball around. I mean, everything's hitting. When you look at the Ravens offense, do you see like what gets you concerned and what areas do you think the Colts could maybe get the advantage on?
Yeah, so the big thing for the Colts is they're really going to have to dominate the interior, especially with Lindebaum out. That's going to be their big area of focus. And DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart, they've been coming out the gates hot. They've been really strong. Buckner's been getting a lot of pressure. Grover Stewart's just an absolute animal against the run. So that's really where they're going to have to make sure that they win, and that's not going to be easy, obviously. You know, because I'm a big Gus Edwards fan. I always thought Gus Edwards has been a very underrated running back. And, you know, you put him with Lamar and it's always trouble for a defense. But the Colts do that. That's where their strength is the front seven and especially on that interior. Now, setting the edge up. I mean, that's every time a team plays Lamar Jackson, setting the edge, containing the edge, obviously. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, where the Ravens are probably going to win. And the weather does help the Colts in this instance. Their cornerback room is very inexperienced. There's some talent in there, but they're very young, very inexperienced. Dallas Flowers is one of the starters. He was an undrafted guy last year. Really fast, really, you know, lengthy and works well, you know, in phase. And he can make some plays on the ball, but he hurt his ankle today.
Is he going to play? Yeah.
On Friday. So he's questionable. So we have no idea if he's going to play. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't play, the guy replacing him, Darrell Baker, another undrafted guy last year.
It's like the opposite of the Eagles defensive line. It's like, they have all first round picks. You guys got all undrafted guys.
The secondary is just undrafted guys. I mean, even Kenny Moore was undrafted. But yeah, geez, I didn't even think about that.
And Nick, don't you have the safety out of Utah also?
Yeah, Julian Blackman. Yeah, Blackman. He's having a good year. Yeah, he's playing the strong safety, so he'll, you know, he'll play some split zone safety. He'll play some in the box. They'll kind of use him all over. And then, but so if Darrell Baker's the one starting for Dallas Flowers, that's gonna be an issue. He had a good preseason. He looked pretty good, but I mean, the passer rating he's given up over these last two games is like in the 120s. I mean, the Ravens are going to target him and they're going to win because he's just struggling. He's struggling to stay in phase. He's struggling to make plays on the ball. And then after that, he's struggling to tackle. He's struggling to make sure that the play stops dead, even if he gives up a reception. So, you know, that's an area that they're definitely going to attack. Their second round pick, Julius Brents, has been a healthy scratch the first two games. They've kind of been like, you know, he needs more reps. He needs, you know, he's not ready yet, but if Dallas Flowers is out, probably going to have to lean on the rookie a little bit. So that's definitely an area that the Ravens are going to, I think it's where they're going to win the game there, is because you have, I mean, they're going to run the ball. It's going to happen. Colts have a good front. They'll be able to limit them, but those explosive plays are, it's going to happen. Right. And then I think Zay Flowers against that secondary is going to be, it's going to be kind of a nightmare if he's going up against Darrell Baker and Dallas Flowers, because he's just, that dude is unbelievable. He's so twitchy.
It's crazy.
It's Kevin. Crazy.
His ability to stop.
Is, I mean, on a dime.
Is net. I mean, full speed, and then can stop every corner. When he stops, the corners go four steps by him. I mean,
it's unbelievable. He's incredible. Crazy. I love watching him play. He's so
and
much
the
fun.
The smile, I mean, you talk about a guy who loves football. This guy, he's playing football when he's sleeping. He's just dreaming about football. I mean, he's fun to watch. To me, tackling is the big thing in this one, Kevin. Yeah. How are they been tackling? Because the Ravens had a fantastic game of open field tackling against a Bengals team that wanted to get the ball out of Joey Burrow's hands quickly and give those guys an opportunity to pick up yak yards. It just, they weren't there to be found because the Ravens tackling was just that special. How good has the defense been tackling in space?
They've been pretty good. They'll have their mishaps here and there. Kenny Moore's a guy that really, I mean, he's questionable too, but I think he's planning on playing. He's a guy that really, he had a really down year last year, but he's turned it on. He's been great. And he, in the open field, I mean, there's pound for pound, there aren't a lot of defenders better than Kenny Moore in the open field. You got him. And then you talk about, like I said, Grover Stewart. He's just a menace. This dude blows up backfields, blows up run plays. And even if he's not directly making the tackle, he's redirecting the runner to the guy setting the edge, or to DeForest Buckner. And then the two guys on the edge, Quidipe, he's a just naturally a really good run defender because he's so athletic and he's so strong. And he's starting to come into his own as a pass rusher. But then on the other side, you got Samson Ebukam. Is how you say it. Simon free agent.
You're practicing that in the mirror,
dude,
Kevin.
So much. They have so many names.
You're like, that's how it's said.
They have so many names with like the African, like not dialect, but like origin.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, you got to study it, man. Because if you're going to be talking about them, you got to get it right. And I want to get it right. You know what I mean? So, dude, yeah, when they signed him, I looked at their little write-up on him, and I was like, all right, I got to get this right. I got to make sure I say this right. Because I was saying Dayo Odangbo's name wrong for, like, the whole year, his whole rookie year. I was saying Odeyingbo, and it's Odangbo. And I was like, oh, man, I cannot keep going on shows and saying this dude's name wrong. So, yeah, Samson Ebukam, he replaces Yannick Ngakoue. And the thing with Ngakoue, you guys know, with the Ravens, you know that he was a pretty good pass rusher, but offered absolutely nothing against the run. Ebukam's probably not as polished as a pass rusher. He's pretty good. He's still pretty good. Very athletic, but he's a really good run defender. And I think that's kind of where the Colts have been able to find their identity defensively, because now they have two really good edge guys, two really good interior guys. And then you mentioned Zaire Franklin. Dude has been, he's been a dog the last, whatever it is, 20 games since the start of last year. He's been on fire, and he's really coming into his own as the Mike. So, you know, he's going to be out there 100% of the time. Leonard is starting to get his way back. He's starting to feel it. And then he'll split some time with EJ Speed, who they re-signed this offseason. So that front seven is really, if the Colts are going to stay competitive in this game, it'll be because of the front seven.
Yeah, yeah, they're certainly a talented group. Now, what is your prediction? You know that the Tropical Cyclone will be in town. Yeah. It's a tough ask to come to Baltimore anyway, no matter the situation. But certainly looks like the Ravens are figuring some things out, even with the injuries. What's your prediction on what happens on Sunday?
Yeah, it'll be really interesting because both teams are dealing with injuries. The weather's definitely going to play a factor. And I haven't looked in the last couple hours. Last time I saw the spread was like 7.5 or 8.5, I think.
8.5, I saw.
8.5. I think the Colts cover. I think the weather's going to help them. And I think the fact that Minshew has so much experience with Steichen that they'll be able to stay competitive. And I think the front seven's going to allow them to stay in the game. But it's hard to see them coming with a win. I mean, I think what we saw last week with the Ravens offense was them really starting to find their identity and really starting to find a groove. And I think they're going to be able to stay ahead enough. And the fact that they're at home is big. So obviously weather's going to play a factor, but I think I said I wrote something earlier and it was like, I think I said like 28-21, but I'm starting to go back on that because I don't know if that many points is going to be scored. I think it's going to be hard to score in the weather. So
that's a lot of touchdowns too.
It's a lot of touchdowns. So I've shifted it. It's going to be more probably like a 23-18, something like that. Maybe something a little less, but I think it's going to be a competitive game because this team is they're a lot stronger than we expected them to look. I mean, even in the game against the Jaguars, you know, they looked competitive and they were very competitive right up until like 7 minutes in the fourth quarter. And then, you know, they basically dominated the Texans last week, but it's the Texans. So, you know, the Ravens played one of their worst games in recent history and they blew them out by like 16 points. So, you know, that's not a huge accomplishment there, but this team is better than a lot of people think. And I think they're going to be in more competitive games, even if they don't win, because that secondary is really young. And that's really where the Ravens are going to be able to take advantage. So I would say something along that line of like 23-18.
Gotcha. And you know what's crazy? It's like, yeah, touchdowns are going to be hard to come by, but field goals are going to be real hard to come by.
That's the thing for me is the field goals. Yeah. Because I like the Ravens you're going to be able to move the ball on the ground. Mm-hmm. And I think the Colts offensive line has been playing really, really well. And, you know, obviously we'll see what happens without Ryan Kelly. That's going to be big, but they've been playing really well. Well, at least last week they did. They ran the ball really well. And again, against the Texans. So it's kind of a caveat, but I think both teams are going to be able to run the ball. It's just a matter of one who turns the ball over. Obviously, that's a key every week. But like you said, the field goals are going to be that's going to be interesting because there's going to be a lot of point swings with that. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if you've checked recently. I tried to look on that Windy app or whatever, and it said it was like. It only told me like 18 mile an hour winds, but I don't know how accurate that thing is.
Well, I think that's like the consistent wind. So I don't know what the gusts are going to look
like. The gusts are probably going to be like 30 or 40.
Yeah, that's what kind of has me worried. We had the DK put up the weather graphic when we first started. I think it's 69 degrees is the high, but it's 98% chance of precipitation. So it's going to be raining.
It's going to be raining and windy.
Jeez. And it's going to be windy.
It's going to be like 10 to 7.
Yeah.
It's going to be something stupid like that. Like everybody's going to be all muddy and dirty.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see if Tucker, the goat, can even kick in those type of conditions. Right. It's gonna be
if anybody can, he can.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Don't sleep on Matt Gay though. Matt Gay's pretty good now.
Yeah, yeah, he's good. He's better than Rodrigo Blankenship. Oh, that's God. For sure.
We don't have to get into that.
And last question, and you can only give me just the team name since you cover both the Colts and the Giants. They're both in an interesting stage. Who wins if they play each other tomorrow?
Oh, dude. Is Anthony Richardson healthy?
Oh, man. I think I'm going to say no because I think what? If I say yes, you'll pick the Colts.
My heart really wants to go with the Giants.
They're a mess.
They're so bad right now.
They're so bad.
That
and I love Wink, but what the – stop blitzing.
Dude. And that offensive line is so bad. I mean,
so bad.
Look, I know Nick Bosa is a dog. I know he's elite. That off that Evan Neal is struggling, man. That looks bad.
Hargrave took that right guard and just
dude
removed it's him. So from the situation. Like,
I was so excited coming into the season to watch the Giants, and it's so quickly I'm just back to like my 2017 to 2021 mindset where it's like this team's just gonna get dog walked every single week.
It's but a tough one.
Thursday night was tough. That was, I mean, I was kind of expected though, because the 49ers are really good this year, but starting off 40-0 against Dallas.
60-0 to start the year.
Let me tell you what, we were stressing. We were stressing against the Cardinals.
Orders down 60-0.
Oh. We were watching, because I watched the game with my brothers. They live about 20 minutes away, so they always come over for all the games on Sunday. And it was 20-0 at halftime. We were like, all right, well, we're getting Marvin Harrison Jr. Cool. That's all right. Exactly. We're fine with that.
I think the Cardinals owner came down and kicked the door.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, hey, you guys
are supposed to lose.
Yeah, like, you got to relax a little bit.
What the
Too
hell?
Too much fire in their gut, man.
Exactly. But Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. Why don't you let everybody know where they can find all your work?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter or X, whatever it's called, at KevinHickey11, at ColtsWire, ColtsWire.USAToday.com. And yeah, that's about it.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining us so much. Appreciate Anytime. It as always. Enjoy the game, and hopefully Thank the you. Weather wherever you're at yeah. is better than it will be here.
Make sure y'all stay safe, man. I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always a blast, and I'm always very appreciative of the time you give me.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much. Talk to you later.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is gonna be a game where the weather could play an absolute big part. But look, if all things go, I think the Ravens are the more talented team. I think they're the team that's ready to compete for the biggest stage. They're going to be ready to compete for championships. I don't think the Colts are quite there yet, but I do think that, you know, this is a team that still has talent and can still scare you if the ball bounces their way, if the weather plays a role that, you know, benefits them for whatever reason, if the ball slips out of a hand. You just never know what can happen in these rainy games. So I wouldn't say go into this game thinking it's a slam dunk. I would say the Ravens are certainly the team that should win, but this is in no way a guarantee. But obviously an AFC game is important, whether it's in the North or outside of it. So we're going to be hoping and rooting for the Ravens like crazy. But that's it for us tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We went a little bit longer than we typically would going an hour and 20. But yeah, there's a lot to talk about. Thanks so much for joining us. We will be back right after the game. So as soon as the game is over, come back right here. You will see us live again to break down all the good, the bad, the ugly. Hopefully, I guess I should say, as long as the power is still on, because what they're saying is it could get a little bit shaky here. But that's it for me tonight. You guys have a good night. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you after. See you.